As a business owner, it's important to keep your business connected. Spectrum Business is committed to keeping your business online whenever and wherever you need us, all backed by the Spectrum Commitment. Get fast, reliable internet starting at $40 per month when bundled, or level up your internet speed and get a 3-year price guarantee. Learn how Spectrum Business can help your business stay connected at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line, plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
This is Issues 2022. I'm Steve McIntosh, and our guest is Eric Kale, Director, Wichita Sedgwick County Historical Museum. Welcome to Issues 2022, Eric. Nice to have you with us.
Thank you, Steve. Good to be here.
Yeah, the museum located in the former Wichita City Hall in downtown Wichita. Do you know when that structure was built, Eric?
Yes. Well, you know, the city was incorporated in 1870, and they ran city government out of a number of different locations and wanted to build a city hall. And by the 1880s, economy was booming, and they got a start on it in 1890.
So where the museum located before that, just a kind of a wandering thing or what?
The city hall, they would just set it up wherever they could. It's sort of documented, but some of those buildings are gone now. And they just did it by hook or by crook, as you might when you're a 10-year-old, a young city like this. So it took them a while to get their act together to build a grand structure.
Now, in the building you're in, how many floors are used for exhibits? All the floors? Or are there four?
Yes,
or how many?
All 4 floors are contain exhibits. We have about 24 different exhibits. Many of them change. Some are core exhibits that are long-term. And then some are immersive exhibits. There are environments you can walk into, like the Victorian Cottage or the Jones 6 Auto Garage. That's a car that was built here in Wichita 100 years ago. Or the, mayor's office itself exists in the exact location where it was when the building was open. And we've reinterpreted that and recreated it.
And so you do have permanent exhibits, and you change out and bring something else in from time to time, right?
Yeah, we typically in the course of a year, we might have half a dozen new changing exhibits. We sometimes get exhibits that travel. There's not a lot of places out there creating exhibits about Wichita that travel, but there are some interesting exhibits that are applicable to our local history. So we get those when we can, too.
How is the museum funded, Eric?
Well, it's funded through its membership. It's a private 501c3 nonprofit organization, but we partner very closely and have for years with the city and the county, and receive some operational funding from them, but most of it we raise ourselves, and we do reside in a city-owned building. The city hall is still owned by the city.
Oh, okay. By the time this airs, I believe the 39th Annual Festival of Wreaths will be over. Can you tell us a little bit about the festival so we can mark it on our calendar for next year and be sure?
Oh, absolutely.
Go ahead.
The Wreath Festival is something that begins the week before Thanksgiving every year. And it's really kind of ongoing throughout the holidays. We have a museum, a volunteer museum-run gift shop that is, let me rephrase that. We have a museum gift shop that is run by our volunteers, and we are like Holiday Central as far as decor items and such. So you can come down any time and look at our gift shop. There's no charge to do that.
Mm-hmm. Well, when it comes to Festival of Wreaths, do I have this wrong? What are the dates for that, the Festival of Wreaths?
Well, we really pull out all the stops. This year, it's the week before Thanksgiving, the Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, right before Thanksgiving. And it is, we have boxed lunches that we sell. We have a bake sale, and we have lots of merch. And that was the 17th, 18th, and 19th of November, always the week before Thanksgiving. This year was our 39th annual, and next year we'll be celebrating, hopefully, serving lunch on the premises as we have in the past. We've sort of suspended that for a couple years, but I expect to be back to that again next year in 23.
I think we've got your plans for Thanksgiving pretty well covered. What about Christmas? Anything else going on at the museum regarding Christmas?
Yeah, we do decorate the entire building for the holiday, and we also interpret the decor in the Victorian cottage, which is several rooms of exhibits depicting a Victorian home in Wichita, and so that is decorated for Christmas. We also have exhibits in the entry lobby on the first floor, which are Christmas focused. Our big feature really is the Innis, or you might think Macy's Santa Claus. He was a automatronic moving Santa, life size, and he graced the windows of that department store just right around the corner from us is where it was, and we actually have video that was taken with an 8mm camera of him in motion in those years. He was rescued from actually a being disposed of and saved by a family here in town, and they loan him to us every year.
You know, and that's for those of us who grew up in Wichita, at least partially, the windows down there at Macy's or Innis and then Macy's, there was a little man, I don't remember his name or I didn't know his name. There was apparently one guy who he was in charge of that and took great pride.
Yes, in fact, all the department stores downtown and even some of the smaller stores really in those days, we're talking about before the shopping mall, all the retail was downtown and the display windows were quite an attraction. You could walk for blocks and watch these windows and the displays that were set up. Every major department store had staff, a talented staff, artists that would create these windows, and then there were those that went around and did the smaller shops as well, and it was quite interesting. That still exists in a few larger cities, but it's kind of faded at this point.
Let me ask you, Eric, about the electric guitar exhibit that you've had there for a while. Is that still on display?
No, that just closed. That had a nice, about a 20-month run.
Wow.
And it was a special exhibit. It was really unparalleled. It was very well curated. It had some amazing instruments in it, and it all hinges on the story about the electric guitar making its world debut from Wichita in 1932, which is something that we've substantiated. So it's an interesting bit of Wichita history right up there with aviation and fast food, perhaps.
Is that a traveling exhibit, or is that something you have that you've stored away? How is that?
No, that was just a one-time exhibit. Many borrowed instruments.
Oh, I see. Yeah,
and it is not traveling.
Okay. Now, it brings up a good question. Where and how do you get your exhibits of local interest? I know you.
The museum has been a museum since 1939, so we have been collecting for over 80 years. We have over 70,000 artifacts in our permanent collection, and we draw from those to create our exhibits. Our staff is very capable of creating excellent award-winning exhibits. We do that fairly regularly, drawing from the collection. If not the collection that we own, we will sometimes borrow to fill in the gaps. We have one like that right now that's up in the Slauson Gallery on the fourth floor that's all about the Art Deco era of the 20s and 30s here in Wichita.
Ah, okay. Hey, you're listening to Issues 2022 on the Odyssey radio stations, and our guest is Eric Kale, director, Wichita Sedgwick County Historical Museum. How many visitors will the museum entertain in a typical year, Eric?
You know, we've kind of been rethinking that because we get so much online engagement these days, and you can really count those interactions as well as the foot traffic through the door. This year, we're on track to have 10,000 visitors, which is rebounding now. We've kind of had a fall off in the past few years, but it's coming back. We're used to closer to 20,000 in the course of a year through the door. But we just engage tens of thousands, well, probably hundreds of thousands when you count everything from YouTube to Facebook to Instagram to online programs. We stream a lot of our programs live, and we archive them on currently the YouTube platform and also some on our website. So I'd say our reach is pretty far, and it's pretty unique because it's all about local history.
So yeah, what you're telling me is that you have people are taking virtual tours. Is that it of the museum?
Yeah, virtual tours and programs that we put on when we have a speaker come in to speak on a certain topic. The Senior Wednesday programs around town are very popular. There are about 10 organizations that participate in that. So every Wednesday of every week, there is some Senior Wednesday program running. And we always do ours on the fourth Wednesday at 10 o'clock. And we always have those virtual. You can view them remotely as well as come and attend.
Do you have a what's your web address? How do we access the museum?
The easy way to find us is Wichita History, one word, .org.
Wow.
Stands for organization. And if you go to our website, at the very bottom there are little tiny icons for all the social media, and you can go direct to our social media platforms where we also exist.
So everything's up to date at the Historical Museum then. That's
well, we try to keep current.
How did the pandemic impact your operation and attendance? Was that a kind of a place where it changed the nature from everybody in person to some doing cyber? How did that work?
Well, it really did expand everyone's skill set with technology, or many of us anyway. The ability to broadcast content out to folks, in remote locations through these platforms like Facebook and our website or YouTube. And then we had to step up and learn this technology and have a great staff that really has done well with it. And then all the audience out there, many, many folks are learning how to navigate that. So it's made attendance much easier, but there's nothing that really replaces the the actual visit to to the museum.
Yeah. And do you give many school tours, Eric?
We do. We offer school tours without charge, and we also, not just without charge, we also have transportation funding reimbursement for many schools, too. So it's we try to remove all the barriers for the kids to come, but there have been challenges with that.
I want to just cover some basic things on each of the floors. In other words, the first floor of the museum, as I recall, is you have the gift shop there and a place where, of course, you come in and with your tickets or whatnot. That's on the first floor. Anything else on the first floor? Do you have a meeting room or something down there?
What? Well, we have typically several exhibits on the first floor that are easy to see right when you come in before you pay admission, which is only $5 unless you're a card-carrying museum member, which many folks are.
Yeah.
We also have a gallery, the Courtney and Marcellette Davis Gallery, which is sort of a welcome gallery. It's also a gallery that contains exhibits created by students here locally that are based, like our mission, on local history. So a lot of the National History Day students participate in that as well.
Give us a look at what's on the second floor. What's the highlight up there?
The second floor is an interesting place because that's where our West Gallery is, and that is where we have many special exhibits that are here for a limited time. So that's changing often, and we currently have miniature Christmas trees that were created by a local artist, Sylvia Jackson, and that will change in January to a new exhibit that is about our permanent collection and has a lot of different things and many different stories that are attached to them. We also have the Child's World Gallery, which is kind of a focus for school tours, where it's all about living as a child in the past.
Oh,
so it's just full of toys and stories that are attached to them.
What about the third floor? What's the highlight there?
The third floor is kind of our introduction. I kind of think of it as the 19th century floor, the 1800s. And it is where we have our core exhibit, Wichita, the Magic City. And it takes you through a kind of a chronological trip of our own local history from the peace treaty right after the Civil War through the end of the century and the dawn of the air age. And then we also have the mayor's office there. We have a gallery, the Lois K. Walls Gallery, where we have local artists on exhibit. And we have the Victorian Cottage there and also the mayor's office.
Wow. And how about the fourth floor, Eric? What's up there?
The fourth floor is another interesting gallery. I think we're moving forward in time. We kind of get to the 20th century up there. We have an exhibit called The Spirit of Wichita that picks up where Magic City leaves off. We have a video on aviation history and just cover a lot of things that happened in the early years, including electricity. We do address the electric guitar story up there in one segment, but many other things. The automobile, we have a Jones 6 automobile, very rare. They made thousands of them here in Wichita, but very few survive, and we have the only one on public exhibit. And then we have a gallery, the Slauson Gallery, which contains that Art Deco exhibit that I mentioned. And it changes fairly frequently. It will change next year.
You know, when I brought my grandkids down there a few years ago, they were most fascinated by, A, the payphone booth, telephone booth, and also the typewriter.
Yes. Now, history museums are notoriously void of hands-on things, but we do have a couple things that are not in the collection. One is a 1948 payphone booth, and it operates exactly as it would have back in those days, and you can make calls from it. Anyone comes in and asks us to use our phone, we just give them a dime and tell them to use that one.
There you go. But it won't. But it won't take a selfie, will it?
No, it's very limited, just to audio conversation.
Now, is there an exhibit or two that are deemed the most popular at the museum?
Yes, one of the most popular, I would have to say, is the Jones 6 automobile up on the fourth floor. And, of course, people are mystified how we got the car onto the fourth floor, but that is revealed up there in a video that is taken from local news footage that we got at Wichita State University's Special Collection Archive. And it shows just exactly how we got the car onto the fourth floor.
Now, the Carillon is in that building, right?
Yes. Yeah, the Carillon is the bell playing instrument.
Yeah, right.
And it actually is not an acoustic Carillon, but it's electronic. And it was just recently replaced. Wichita has had, I think, three or four Carillon in operation since the 1950s when it was given to the city.
And that is that physically operated? I mean, somebody play a keyboard, or is it just recorded stuff?
It's actually, there is a double keyboard up there, and we do concerts. Oh. Our next one is, it's coming right up, I think. And any holiday we have, there is a Carillon concert the Friday before the major holidays. And you can go to our website and see that schedule.
Okay. It sounds funny to say about a historical museum, but what's new? Anything new at the museum?
Well, we try to keep it new. The last thing we want is to have folks think that they've been there and done that, and they'll see the same things they saw in third grade. So we keep things going. We have a very agile professional staff that works around, really, 24/7, I'd have to say, to keep the building going. There's always something. If you plan to visit, I would plan to visit at least twice a year, and you'll see something new both times.
Good idea. Now, do you use volunteers at the museum?
Yes, we have a lot to thank for volunteers. We have a board of trustees, all volunteers. We have a group, the WIMS, as they're known by their acronym. No one really remembers what that stands for, but they've been in effect for a long time, and they help us with events like the torchlight tour and the city county birthday celebration in July and different things that we do here. They help us stage a lot of that, and they run our gift shop.
Tell us about your hours of operation at the museum.
Well, we are closed on Mondays, but open every other day. During the week, from Tuesday to Friday, we're open from 11 to 4, and on Saturday and Sunday, 1 to 5.
Okay.
And this year, Sundays are free, thanks to a grant we received from the Ruth Spooner Stone Foundation at Intrust Bank.
Okay, Eric, I don't know much about your background, but just answer me this, answer this question, please. What was it? Did something in your childhood get you interested in history? Were you always interested in history? How did this interest come about?
Well, yes, I am a lifelong Wichitan, in fact, so I can't help but be interested in it. Our family moved here in the 1870s, so it goes way back, but it's always been something, a topic of interest in our family. So when I visited the museum as a kid, I just fell in love with it. And I've been involved with it in some capacity early on as a volunteer. So it's a great place. There are very few cities in the United States that have a local history museum of this caliber.
Is the interest in the young people, is the interest in history coming back, or is it stronger than usual? Is it peaked and we're going the other way and nobody cares? What do you think?
Well, it's yes. Actually, they are very interested. We encounter kids every day who are rather fascinated with what they find here. And when they come with, say, a grandparent or someone, there's a lot of back and forth conversation that couldn't really happen anywhere else about the past and the present and the future. So there are actually hundreds of kids locally who are interested in history and participate in National History Day competition.
All right, listen, I've got to have to stop because we're out of time, but our guest, Eric Kale, director of Wichita Sedgwick County Historical Museum, thank you for your good work, and we appreciate it, Eric. We'll come down and see you.
Well, thank you, Steve. I appreciate talking with you.
That's all for this edition of Issues 2022. We'll be back next week. Thanks for listening. I'm Steve McIntosh.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.